So I didn't increase my stream time. I kind of like increased my research time. How can I make my video quality better? What tools do I need? What equipment do I need? And then when I went live, I would kind of just apply what I saw other creators do to write out a lot of my goals so I can see them visually and work towards them. First time I posted on YouTube Shorts or like TikTok, I literally wrote out, post your video to YouTube Shorts and TikTok. And then checking that off is a great feeling. It all goes back to a conversation I had with my mom. At first, she wasn't sold on this, but I remember talking to her about it. And I told her, I think I can turn this into something. Like, I really think I can turn this into something big. And she told me, she was like, if you believe that you can, then go for it. And I support you 100%. Facebook actually made a replay of my streams. They didn't tell me, they just posted it one day, and I got a notification that I got tagged on Instagram. I'm watching a video and I'm just screaming. I think that kind of solidified you're doing something. You're making a difference in the space that you occupy.
Hal, it is so good to have you on the podcast. We kind of tried to do this a little bit last time, and then I sprung a little surprise on you, but I'm excited to finally have you on as a guest of the podcast.
Thank you so much for the opportunity.
Yeah, no worries. So I've been privileged to kind of watch your journey over the last few years, especially because since you've been a part of Pipeline, we just kind of kept an eye on you. You were part of the scholarship. So it's been a real honor to watch your growth and how much, not only is your content growing, but I think you've grown a lot over the last few years as well, which has been really cool to see. I would love to give the audience a sense of, for those of you who are not familiar, of kind of where you're at today, where you're creating content, how often you're creating content.
So I am now on Facebook Gaming. I am around or almost hitting 40,000 followers.
Wow.
I create content not only on Facebook, but I also upload to different platforms such as YouTube, TikTok, and also Instagram. And I just kind of like spread out my content as far as it can go.
Yeah. And I think that's something you've really leaned into a lot, at least I've seen a lot in the last, you know, 4 or 5 months, especially. It's like really like getting your content in more than one place. It's really cool to see. I love to just wind the clock a little bit, because I think it's always interesting to find like how do you even got into this? Like, you know, why did you get started? So like, where did you grow up? I'm guessing your parents weren't content creators. So it's not like you could have had that past that thing. So, you know, where'd you grow up? Where were you?
So my background, I was actually in college at the time that I started. I was a junior studying biology, and my friends kind of just like recommended to me, you know, I would play Fortnite when I would come home from class, and they were like, you know, you should probably just broadcast this. So I actually started on Twitch. That was my first platform.
Oh, before that, why did you get into biology?
So I wanted to become a forensic scientist, and I still do to this day. And I do have plans to finish my degree. For those that don't know, I have 1 year left. So I do want to finish that up soon, but I do want to become a forensic scientist. And I also want to dive a little bit into marketing, but that's another story.
I can imagine it's pretty hard. You're like, you had this track you were on. So was it a 4 year course, 2 year course?
4 year. Yeah. 4 year.
So you're on this 4 year course. I'm going to become a forensic scientist. You were 3 years in at that point?
3 years, yep.
And did content start when you were in school, or did content?
Yeah. I would stream part-time because I couldn't dedicate as many hours as I do now. I would only be able to stream like 3 hours and right after like class, and then I'd have to go to sleep to wake back up for class. So it wasn't as easy.
Were you a consumer of content? Like, were you watching a lot of streams on like Twitch or YouTube or anything?
I wasn't watching streams. I was watching a lot of YouTube content.
What kind of content on YouTube?
So, what's his name? There was this guy who makes like really funny videos on Fortnite. He'd edit his clips with a lot of like sound bites. And that kind of like allowed me to dive into editing too, to see if I could do it too. It was really cool. And I was also watching Stone. I would watch Stone's VODs that he'd put up on YouTube.
Cool. So you were watching this at the time, and then what made you go, I could try? Did you you're editing videos, but you weren't really with the intent of becoming a content creator at that point. Mm-mm. So this you just like to try and edit videos as well?
Yeah. So that's when I first started editing videos. It was an editor on Windows. It was like a Windows video editor. They don't have it anymore. They kind of took it down. But I used to just edit my videos there, like my Fortnite clips, and just see what I could do. But I never upload them to anywhere.
That's really fascinating. Mm-hmm. So you just thought it was so cool, whoever it was, this Fortnite creator was doing, you were like, yeah, this is so cool, I want to try and do this.
I remember his name now. It's C-Day.
Yeah. So you were checking his content, you're like, I want to see if I can replicate this, but you had no prior experience video editing.
No, not at all.
You download this program, you throw in your recordings. How were you even recording your content at that point?
So it was easier back then. You could just save your clips to the PlayStation, and then I would transfer them over to my USB and then just upload them from there to my laptop.
So you're not a PC at this point. This is from...
No, I am like straight console.
So you're on the console, you're over to the USB, it's over to the laptop, which I'm guessing was primarily for like, you know, school. That was your laptop.
Yeah, it was my school laptop, yep.
And then you're editing these videos. At what point did you feel like you were good at it at all? Like, did you have any...
I felt like I was so mediocre. So there's one time I actually just like... I was like, you know what, screw it. And I did upload one video. So to this day, there is one Fortnite video on my YouTube. And I'm really proud of it. I think it's the best I could ever do.
After this episode, I'm going to go check that Fortnite video.
It's titled The One Video I Always Talk About. Because I was so proud of that video. It's kind of like I put my all into it. Like I looked up different effects and stuff, and I kind of just put that all in one.
So that's really cool. I didn't know that about you. You just kind of started the editing path. So you're in school. When did you start doing that? Like a couple years into school?
When did you start editing? So this is now my spring semester, junior year.
Junior year, is that first, second?
That's your third.
Third year, sorry. Okay, so you're in your third year. You tried editing. You put this one video up. Your friends, I'm guessing, knew that you were trying to edit at this point, like you were doing this thing on the side as a hobby. Mm-hmm. At what point did you have the courage, and why did you have the courage to go make some content?
I first wanted to do it so I can, like, I always say this, I always want to overcome my social anxiety. Like, still to this day, I'm a shy person. So I wanted to just go for it and see what I could do. In my experience, you'll probably laugh at this, but my experience when I first started on Twitch was not what you see today. Like, I would literally type back to people in chat. I wouldn't talk.
Oh, really?
Yes, I would type back to them.
That's crazy.
I know.
It's crazy because now you have literally hundreds of people watching you.
I'm just always talking. But yeah, I would type. And someone came in, he was like, wait, why are you typing to us? And I was like, I don't know. And I'm typing this. I go, I don't know. Like, I'm a shy person.
Were you on camera or were you just doing it?
No, I was not on camera.
Not on camera, okay.
I think that also like tied into it too.
What made you start on Twitch?
I was recommended. I think it was because I was recommended to Twitch is where I started first.
And what was your content about when you first started?
A lot of Fortnite. And then when Blackout came out, I would stream some zombies and some Battle Royale, Blackout 2.
And when you first started, was there any like thought or structure or like goals or anything like that? Or was it just,
that's a good question. Try this out? I believe I had some goals, you know, just like the hit 100, hit 200 followers. I also found out about becoming a Twitch affiliate. So then I kind of like grinded for that too when I could. And I actually hit it. I actually did hit affiliate before I switched over.
That's interesting. You didn't even know before you started streaming, you didn't actually know about Twitch affiliate or any of that.
No.
So you just kind of, I think one of the hardest things for any new creator is going live. That's like one of the hardest things. So you got over that part.
Mm-hmm.
And you're still at school at this point. So you mentioned you only have like a couple hours in the evening. How often were you doing it?
I was doing it like, I would say out of the week, probably like 6-7 hours. Is what I could dedicate to it. Not much time.
So 6-7 hours a week, you're doing this. Was it taking away from other parts of your life? Like social sometimes, life or school? Or
it would take away from my studying because now that I kind of introduce a kind of setup in my room, I would sometimes become distracted and kind of want to do better on my setup. I would have like this drive to build my setup more than what it is. And I kind of took away from some of my studies.
And what were your friends or your family saying at this point as you were?
My friends were shocked.
Really?
Like, they were so shocked. They were like, what? You're streaming? Wow, this is crazy. They actually really supported me a lot on Twitch.
That's so your first kind of viewers, was it mostly your friends?
Yep, mostly my friends.
Tuning in, you're doing this 6 days a week. At what point did you go like, wow, there's like people watching, like it's not just my friends?
It's crazy. I think one day I had like 23 viewers. And this I kind of asked Twitch? Like, yeah, I kind of asked like, do you guys know me? And only two of them were like, yeah. And then the others were like, we just saw you scrolling on our feed. I was like, wow, that's crazy. I'll never forget it. My peak was 23.
That's incredible. And do you have any sense, was it like a quick thing, like you had like five and then suddenly you had 23, or was it gradual, like 5, 10, 15?
It was gradual. I was playing zombies and I was going for like a wave 50 kind of challenge for myself. And then it kind of like gradually went up and they stayed around until I hit it.
That must have been like, you know, given the time you were putting into it, which was significantly less than some of the other creators on Twitch at the time, you must have felt like, wow, like, I don't know, but people want to watch this.
Yeah, I felt that way. It was shocking.
Did you start looking to spend more time on it?
Yeah, I did. I did.
And what was that? You went from 6 hours to like, what, a week?
I didn't increase my stream time. I kind of like increased my research time. Kind of just, how can I make my video quality better? What tools do I need? What equipment do I need? So I would spend more time researching it. And then when I went live, I would kind of just apply what I saw other creators do. So now at that time, I'm like watching more streams, getting familiar with other streamers on Twitch and kind of just like seeing what they do and how they carry themselves.
And did you ever go, okay, what does it look like? Is this a career? Is this something that, you know, I'm going to make a nice kind of side hustle on the side, like I can kind of build this. When did that become like a thing for you?
That's a good question. I think it became a passion when I switched to Facebook. There was a time before the switch to Facebook that my Twitch was kind of dying.
Yep.
And I wasn't sure what it was. I think it's mostly over time, I just couldn't dedicate all the time that I wanted to.
So, I think that's a really good for those listening. Like, what happened for you? You were streaming. How many months were you streaming and kind of hitting that like 20 viewer mark?
I would say like five, six months.
5, 6 months hitting that, and you were doing, you know, anywhere from 6 hours streaming, but then maybe like a couple of other hours on research.
Yeah.
Doing that for 6 months. And then you're saying at that 6 month mark, it started to kind of taper down a little bit.
Yeah, it declined.
And that, did that inform your switch to Facebook?
It kind of like, yeah, it kind of boosted my switch. And then also now at this point, I'm now acquainted with more Facebook streamers. Now I'm starting to watch more Facebook streamers. Since I've been watching Twitch streamers, I figured why not? I'm on Facebook like all the time. I've had my Facebook for about 10 years. So I was like, you know what? Why don't I get acquainted with people on Facebook? So now I'm just like seeing the difference. And I liked Facebook more.
Just the community, you just felt like you jived with more than that of Twitch?
I definitely vibed more with the communities on Facebook than the communities on Twitch.
How did you make that transition? Like, how did you, because you're on Twitch, your kind of communities knows that you're on Twitch. How did you handle the switch to Facebook?
I was nervous. At first, I was like, you know, would anybody watch me? But I think it was more so the support that I had when people would ask like, hey, are you going to stream here too? And I'd be like, yeah. They was like, oh, we can't wait. Like, I'm so excited. We can't wait. And I think that kind of like that support drives me to just go for it.
So you did it. You went live on Facebook. How did the first one go?
Oh my gosh. I was so nervous, but I saw a clear difference in my first Twitch stream to my first Facebook stream. I was like really rapid with the comments. I was replying. And then I was also like focusing on my game too. I wasn't distracted. And I kind of use, so I love zombies. I'm like a diehard zombies fan. So I kind of use that as my crutch, because during the switch in waves, I would spend more time like getting to know them. And then I just go right back and do another wave. And then it was a cycle and they really liked it.
That's, I didn't get to ask when you were making that transition, did you actually have your webcam and microphone on at this point?
Yeah.
On Twitch?
Now my webcam is on, my mic is on, and I had like a nice little setup just by my bed.
Cool. So you're starting to build on Facebook. But obviously it's a new platform. You're familiar with it because you've been using it for a while. But it's still a new platform in terms of live, and things are not necessarily as intuitive as Twitch because they've just been doing it longer. Mm-hmm. So you're getting familiar with all this. The audience is kind of getting familiar. How is your viewership doing at this point in your kind of follower count? You know, you're 6 months in. How long ago was this now?
This is now, I would say, 4 to 5 months down the line.
How far away from that? Are we like a year? Was that a year ago, a year and a half ago?
That is when my transition to Facebook?
Yeah.
Oh, 2 years.
So 2 years ago, you transitioned to Facebook.
Yep.
How is it going?
It's going way better. Viewership is different. It's increased a lot more. Engagement is different. And I kind of, that was kind of confirmed. So at the time, you know, the supporter button was kind of a invite only. There were no requirements for the supporter button. And I actually got mine about 2 months in.
So you got 2 months in, and did that give you a stable base? You were like, wow, like this is, I can make money, and not just like a little bit, like I can consistently start to make some money here that I know is consistent.
Mm-hmm. It really like opened my eyes. And shortly after that, we found out about E3 2019, and I made a goal to go there, and my community kind of supported me to go there. And that blew my mind. Like I saw so many different creators that I watch on a daily. It was crazy. It was a great experience.
I remember something similar when I went to Gamescom in Germany, and I was just blown away because I was just like, wow, there's all these people that think and feel the same way I do. They're all in one place.
Right.
And I was like, so this is insane. Cause I did like grew up in a small town in Scotland. So like, I just didn't have those people around me. So you went to E3, you met some people, but just thinking where you are now, because are you full-time content creation now?
I am full-time now, yes, since I'm not in school.
So it's just crazy how quickly it's happened in the last kind of year and a half, 2 years. At what point were you like, okay, I'm juggling school and I'm juggling content. When did that decision come to stop school for a year?
So my school situation, a lot of people don't know this. It was actually a medical leave. I suffer from major depression and anxiety, and I had a moment where I needed to go to the hospital, and I actually got medically discharged from school.
Wow, I didn't know that.
A lot of people don't know. I told my community everything that happened that November. I actually took like a whole month off. I think it was a year ago. And yeah, it's still a little hard to talk about sometimes, but
I can imagine, especially because you're every single day, you're showing up to be this person, you know, connecting with your community. You're trying to be high energy all the time.
Yep.
And then you have this under thing that you're like, God, why does this keep coming up? Like, I don't want this. And I can imagine that is a hard place to be. Testament to you, because you've been crushing it the last year and a half.
Thank you so much.
You made the decision to come to school, somewhat your own decision, you had to kind of make the decision for your own health.
Yeah.
But what did that cause for your content creation side? Like what's happened?
It declined for a bit. You know, people understood, but
was that when you took a month off?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It took me a while to kind of like get back into the groove and, you know, face people again, because I don't know why, but sometimes you kind of feel bad that you take time off. So I was like feeling a little bad, and then I'm like, why am I feeling bad? You know, they understand. So then that space, like December to January and on, it was just like an outpouring of support. And that kind of like brought me back to where I am now.
And this was December, January last year, or December last year into January this year?
No, I would say December 2019 into January 2020 and on.
and your community was just super supportive, and that kind of lit you up, and you were ready, like you were ready to lean in more on that side. Yeah. From an hours perspective, so you're no longer in school, how much were you putting into content creation at this point?
That's a great question. So now I'm putting in more time, and I actually got serious about a stream schedule, or tried to at least. I would say, you know, I now I need to like actually find a schedule, find a time that I like. And initially I would lean more towards the evening because I would spend time with my mom, my grandmother. So now I'm at home and I'd spend time with my mom, my grandmother, and like just try to give them, you know, some family time in the mornings, and then in the evening I would stream. But I found that it would be a little taxing on me because I'd get tired a lot. And sometimes I'd sleep in the morning. So now I'm not spending time with them, and then I'm hopping on stream. It was bad.
Yeah. I feel like you give yourself quite a hard time. I can just kind of see that you're like, I got to try and make everyone happy. and you're...
So I think about people a lot. I'm always thinking like, how would this affect them? And sometimes I kind of forget how it affects me.
Yeah. And I think one of the big things of that is like how it affects you ultimately is like, if you're able to take care of yourself, you're going to be able to take care of others. And I think that's one of the big shifts or opportunities is like, how can I put myself first more? Because I know if I do that, then I can, you know, show off for the family or my community or whatever it is.
Yeah.
At what point did you go, this is a full-time job? Like this is like, it's not a hobby anymore.
I think that happened around, I would say June, July of 2020. It kind of, it was a different experience. So now I'm on PC. And then I also had moved to Cali around May. So now I'm on PC, I'm in a different environment, and I don't know, I kind of just like wanted to put my all into it. And
was that a monetary thing, or was it like you were just getting such a high off of the community and the growth?
You mean like the drive?
Yeah.
I think it was more so the community. For me, it's never been how much I make or like the monthly income. That's a blessing. But I feel like you have nothing if you have no community. It kind of is like the backbone of everything.
And where were you at? Like what kind of CCV roughly were you at back in June where it was like, wow, this is really taking off?
So now it's like an influx of people. I'm starting to do more time on Warzone. So I'm seeing like 100 to 150, a lot of new faces. And I'm growing rapidly at this point. I think I shot up from like 17K to about 22, 23. And then it just kept rising as the months went on.
And one of the things we want to come back to, we touched on a little bit at the beginning, was this, it not just being about live content. And I think you were actually good at this back in school, right? Because you mentioned when you started putting in a couple more hours, it was on the offline stuff or like thinking about your setup or your content. I've been really impressed over the last 6 months of how you've really leaned in heavily there. And it is so uncomfortable. It is frustrating, tiring, like all the things, but you've really pushed through a lot of that. Mm-hmm. What motivated you to start doing that and getting, just putting yourself out there more on those different platforms?
I think it was more so just me looking into myself and asking myself, like, can you do this? Like, do I believe in myself enough to do this? And I did. I really did. I would also start writing down like a lot of goals. Like I actually write out a lot of my goals. So I can see them visually and work towards them.
That is like, such a powerful thing.
It's crazy. Even like the first time I posted on YouTube Shorts or like TikTok, I literally wrote out, post your video to YouTube Shorts and TikTok. And then checking that off is a great feeling.
Yeah, I think for those listening, it'd be great to kind of hear how that's evolved for you. Mm-hmm. Because you make this thing where you talk yourself out of doing it and you just don't do it, and then you procrastinate and then it becomes impossible to do it. But you've made this decision, and it's not just about Shorts, it's not just about TikTok, it's not just about Instagram, like YouTube, you've done it on so many different platforms now where you've just said, you know what, I'm gonna do this, and you've committed. Is there any advice for those listening that are in that procrastinating stage or talking themselves out of it that you would recommend for them?
I would recommend definitely setting these goals and also like asking yourself, like, what are you in this for? What do you want to see come out of this? And if you feel like it's possible to grow on these platforms, why not take that risk? I always ask that question, like, why not take the risk and see what it can become?
How do you not give up when...
That's a great question.
it's hard, right? It really is hard because it's up and down and you've got all these commitments and, you know, you're trying to, you know, you're like, oh, I've committed to TikTok now, so I got to make the TikToks. I've committed to YouTube now, so I got to make the YouTube videos.
Mm-hmm.
How do you not just go like, wow, this is exhausting. I want to throw the towel in.
I believe it all goes back to a conversation I had with my mom. At first, she wasn't sold on this. Like, streaming, she was like, what? You are in school. Like, just focus on school. But I remember talking to her about it, and I told her, I think I can turn this into something. Like, I really think I can turn this into something big. And she told me, she was like, if you believe that you can, then go for it. And I support you 100%. So I think it's like, having my mom's support on this is driving me subconsciously.
That is like,
she doesn't tell me every day that she watches my streams or anything, but just when we catch up, she's like, how are you doing? How's the stream going? She even asks about the stream. And I'm like, a year ago or 2 years ago, she'd be like, school, school.
Yeah, I wanted to ask that because you're close, I'm guessing, with your mom and your grandma.
Yeah.
I'm guessing they did not get it at all. And probably parts of it they still don't get at all.
Yeah.
But they are really supportive.
Yes, very.
What about your friends? Do you still? I can imagine it's hard to keep up with friends when you've got kind of things going on from back in school. But do they kind of get the transition and the jump into content?
Yeah, I actually have this one friend, Monique. Kind of going back to my
shout out to Monique.
My transition to Facebook. I actually had this conversation with her, and I was like, you know, what if people don't like me when I go live? I remember asking her this. She's like, what? Why wouldn't anyone like you? And then, you know, we were sitting in the car and I couldn't give her an answer. Like, I legit couldn't give her an answer. I was like, I don't know. I just think that. She was like, you got to get that out of your head. Just go for it. And to this day, she still shares my streams.
That is awesome. You had a couple of moments, I think, that have been... you know, just awesome milestones in a relatively short amount of time. You know, you're part of the Pipeline Scholar, you're part of the Facebook Gaming Partner Program, you're part of the Facebook Gaming Black Creator Program. These programs, you know, they're really cool opportunities, but I think more importantly, it's just a testament to you and the work you're putting in, the discipline that you have shown and how you're showing up and building your community. That's why, like, I mean, frankly, it's why we were really excited to work with you more closely. It's why I'm sure Facebook felt the same and really wanted to lean in closely with you. How important have those opportunities been for you? And how do you, like, think about those opportunities versus, like, your own content and everything else that's going on just for you?
I think each opportunity kind of solidified me more than before. Like, I would say the first time, even before a partnership, even before the scholarship, it was Facebook actually made a replay of my streams. And, you know, people always say, like, Facebook Gaming is watching your streams, like, always be mindful of what you say. And I think it was, like, them making a replay of my stream, and they didn't tell me. They just posted it one day, and I got a notification that I got tagged on Instagram. And I'm sitting on stream and I'm watching a video and I'm just screaming and everyone's like, what's going on? And I play it for them. They're like, what? I think that kind of solidified, like, you're doing something, like you're making a difference in the space that you occupy. And I always remind myself, like, what is my goal here? What am I doing here? What's my passion? What's my purpose? And I was able to answer those questions moving forward from that time. So now,
I think that's a really powerful question for those listening, is asking yourself that question, not just once, because you actually need to ask yourself that question like every 3-6 months, every year. You need to, like, check in with yourself and be like,
yeah,
am I doing things that feel good to me or right to me in terms of what I care about? And those things change. And I think that's one thing that, having, I think, been around for a decade now, is that will change. what you care about, what you feel like doing will change. Who knows? Is television going to become like TikTok star or a short star rather than a live streamer soon? Like, who knows?
Oh my goodness. I have no idea, but I'm ready. I'm ready for anything that happens.
Yeah, you've really, huge testament. I think that one thing we were chatting about before we went live with the podcast was this idea of the VOD site. And it's something you've really leaned into a lot of the last few months. I'd love you just to share your perspective on that commitment to VOD and those other, short form video. What have you learned there?
I definitely learned a lot more. So just like on the editing side, I was able to push myself more, study more YouTube videos. And I kind of feel like when you apply that research, if you just take the time, just like 20 minutes, watch some YouTube videos, sometimes they're not even 20 minutes long. So you could squeeze in about 4 videos and learn 4 new techniques for your own VODs. And I also would say like editing doesn't take that long either. If you have the clips, like say you clip your stream, you have like a specific button that you use to clip your stream and you put that into a folder, you can sit there and sift through that and find really good content to throw together. My threshold, I usually do 30 seconds to a minute because they work. They work for, so the 30 second videos work for Instagram or Reels because there's a limit. And then the minute videos work for TikTok and YouTube Shorts. So I feel like knowing the different limits and the different requirements for each platform kind of helped me fine-tune fine-tune my content and know what to keep and what to discard.
The systems and processes, have you committed to like, I'm doing this number a week, or how have you approached that?
I think when I first started, I was doing daily. And then sometimes if I don't stream the day before, I would dedicate like the next day to creating like 1 or 2 videos so that I can catch back up. But I try to do a daily video.
That's intense. So those daily shorts, daily clips, you're doing that. How much would you say from a time perspective, like now are you spending between offline stuff and online and like being live?
I would say my live time took a bit of a hit. But then there are also other things that factor into it too. I think if I can, so this all goes back to solidifying that stream schedule. If I can set a block for my live streams, I want to do like a good 6-hour block, and I can pull content from that block for the week or for the next, just like the next few days or whatever, then I should be good. But right now I'm kind of in a space where I'm going live for about 3 to 4 hours and I'm finding like some content to make for the next day. But if something comes up and I'm not live, then I have no content to post.
Yeah, so that's the thing, because it kills that engine, right?
Yeah, you gotta like find that balance.
So big thing, so would you say roughly like, is it 50-50? Or, you're probably spending like 60% of your time live, 40% offline. What is your rough makeup?
I would say 60-40.
Yeah. Yeah, that schedule thing is one of the hardest things. And it's crazy because you are pretty, for all intents, you're crushing it, right? You don't have hundreds of thousands of followers or anything, but you've got a really good growth trajectory right now. This is a full-time gig for you. You're crushing it in every sense of the word. But the schedule thing is just a hard thing to lock down and commit to.
It is. It really is.
You have to do it.
Yep.
I'm gonna tell Nathan, and we're like, we gotta follow up with Tal and make sure that she's on.
Nathan's
on that.
Gonna lose his mind because we've been talking about this for the whole 3 months of my scholarship, like locking down on a schedule. And if he hears now that I'm like, oh my gosh,
I'm definitely gonna ping him and be like, God, him. You gotta hit up Tal. She's really that schedule.
God.
Okay. Tal, it was absolutely incredible to have you on the podcast. What are you really excited about? You've got a lot of great things going for you right now. What are you looking forward to in the next few months?
I'm like really into throwing tournaments. So I have a tournament coming up and I kind of want to bring back my summer like sniper 1v1s. So I'm looking forward to those and seeing what can come of it. The last time I did them, we did see a lot of new faces. So I'm really excited to just meet new people, honestly.
And that's super cool.
Growing the community.
That's exciting. Thank you so much for coming on the show. I'm glad we finally made it happen. Not a surprise this time. Continue crushing it. You're absolutely badass. And it's been really great to see you over the last few years and your growth, not just in your content, but also personally. It shows.
Thank you, Snoopy. I appreciate you.
Cool. Thanks, Tal. Take care. Bye-bye.
Of course. Bye.